MG, there's not too many people in the sporting world that you can know by the initials. You know, MJ. If I say MJ, you know I'm talking about
Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan, exactly. And rugby league has their own very own version of that. SBW.
I was on hand at Parramatta Stadium back in 2004 working for the ABC radio, and I happened to watch Parramatta's game against the Bulldogs, and a young guy called Sonny Bill Williams came on the field in number 3 jersey. And with the first touch of the ball, I thought, my goodness, what are we watching here? And he ended up scoring a try that night, setting up 2 or 3, and they won, I think, about 50 to 14 against the Eels. But he announced himself in a profound way.
Well, now he's announced himself as an author. Sonny Bill Williams has released his book, You Can't Stop the Sun from Shining, Sonny Bill Williams, and he joins us on the line. G'day, Sonny.
Hey, guys. Great to be here. Thanks for the intro, but you got one thing wrong, bro. It's not SBW, it was MG, Mark Guy. That's the initials we remember.
They did used to compare us a little bit. We're both a bit crazy off the field, a bit crazy on the field, but with 5 kids, I've got 5 kids now, Sonny's got 4, we've settled down a lot, thank God. But Sonny, that night...
And it's true, Mark. It was great. A straight affinity when we met each other, I think, because we... You know, kind of walked the same path and came from the same type of struggle. You know what I mean, bro?
It was, mate. I remember going up to the Central Coast, and you were in your first year, and I was doing something with Graham Hughes, and he said, "I'm bringing Sonny Bill Williams up with me." I said, "Oh, man, I can't wait to meet him." And as soon as I met him, we looked eye to eye, 6'4", both of us, and very similar builds, and straight away we connected because we knew that, you know, Sonny's from the rough side in Auckland. I'm from Mount Druitt, and we often got mistaken for louts, but our football done our talking for us. What do you remember about that first night, Sonny, when you got your first grade jersey against the Parramatta Eels and you carved up, buddy? You carved up.
It was surreal. You know, I just remember after the game, like the crowd calling my name, and I'm sitting there thinking, man, are they calling my name? You know, like, but it was a massive buzz. It was a massive buzz, but I think I was comfortable in that space with the boys because I had worked at the club for 2 years. I was cleaning the bird poo off the grandstands, and there was a bloke at the Dogs at the time. He's the gear man. He's still there. His name was Freddie Serrato. He kind of took me under his wing, and I would help him out. But it was just unreal. As a 16-year-old, I was around guys like Mark O'Mealy, Willie Mason, Adam Perry, Corey Hughes. You know these guys. And I remember one training session, because I'd just clean up after them or whatever, help out Freddie. Folksy said to me, bro, mate, we need a guy to jump on the wing or just to hold the tackle bag. Bro, that was the greatest feeling for a youngster to be around those type of guys, you know, that you looked up to so much just day in, day out. I would have cleaned their dirty laundry if they asked me, but that was the buzz. So accumulating and me making my debut with them at 18 years old, was an awesome experience.
I like to think that Folksy then remembers that as I gave Sonny his start. I made him hold a tackle bag as a 16-year-old.
Apparently, the word is that in them opposed drills, he was giving more than he was getting, put it that way, in defense. That shoulder charge was awesome.
I think my, apprenticeship came from guys like Mark O'Mealy holding the tackle bags for those guys as a 16-year-old. And, you know, Ogre, he wasn't holding back on anyone. So I came through with the Dogs of War's days, you know, and Roy Asatasi, Rennie Matua, Willie Tonga, like these type of characters. But we learned the hard way, but it was good. It steeled us up for what was to come.
Do you remember signing the contract as a 14-year-old?
Yeah, on the back of my mom's little Honda, I think it was a Honda Civic that she used to drop us off to school, and we'd say, "Mom, can you drop us down the road?" And she'd be doing burnouts to say, "I'll teach these kids," you know. So you know, this whole process of writing the book, it was such a great process for me because I was able to delve back and remember the good times, but also remember the tough times and just understand myself a little bit more. You know, I always say today, when giving advice to youngsters, sportsmen, sportswomen, Mark would attest to this too, that the better person makes the better sportsman because they understand themselves better. They understand their struggles and their strengths and their weaknesses. You know what I'm trying to say?
So 100%, mate. And I could imagine once you were writing the book, the memories that you were having from your childhood, there's probably some that have been a little bit oppressed of in years gone by, but then they come flooding back and you find yourself, if you had a pen in your hand writing notes down, you're in front of a computer, you just type away and you're just going, wow, that, or when you're dictating to the author you know, who's writing it for you, you go, oh man, I can't believe that I remembered that. And it's something that now with you have four kids that you'll be talking to them, they'll be talking in 10, 15 years about what they did with you as a kid.
100%, Mark. And as you know, like for me as a sportsman, I always connected with the one that was authentic. And writing this book, I didn't want to shy away from my misdemeanors, my struggles, my mistakes, things that I was really, and I'm still embarrassed about. But the thing that I'm proud of, if you read the book, you'll understand that I'm still a work in progress. I know I'm not the final product, but I'm proud to say that I've learned from all my mistakes. And I strive to be a better person every day. I strive to be a better husband, a better father. You know, that just that type of buzz in it. And essentially, it's made me happy. It's kept me happy.
Well, you know what? Even in your voice, you can hear it. You, as I said, that night I met you as an 18 or 19 year old. You were young. You were shy. You were, you know, you were an imposing figure, but you didn't have this aura about you that you've got now with your how you speak to in the media. You've come such a long way, and as you say, you're a work in progress. You're getting better at everything you do year by year, and that's as a father as well.
I appreciate that, Mark. It's one of the things I've learned throughout the process, and you know how I was raised. I never saw anyone of growing up. I never saw anyone in a high position of prominence. You know, it was all low income jobs. I lived in a low decile era. We didn't have wallpaper on our walls. It was a housing commission household. Dad didn't sit me down. Mom didn't sit me down and say, look, son, when you make it, if you make it, you know, these are the pitfalls. These are the things to look out for. It wasn't about thriving, bro. It was about surviving.
Yes.
So that,
yes,
that struggle drove me to reach the heights I did on the field. But on the other side of the coin, that it didn't equip me to deal with what was to come. And, you know, I struggled a lot. You know, although I was playing some great footy at the time when I took off, I was deeply, deeply, deeply unhappy off it. And I wish that I had the mindset I have now because I would have been able to, it wouldn't have went down the way that it went down. You know what I mean, Mark? And
yeah,
I would
time,
be more confident to stand up and say, look, this is how I'm feeling. This is what needs to change. But I just felt like I needed to escape. But the thing was, what I found out was when I escaped, when I ran, the man in the mirror was still, the problems I was facing, the demons I had, was staring straight back at me in the mirror.
Wow.
When I was in France. You know what I mean?
Well, that's when the big decision was made in 2009. While you're in France, you converted to Islam. Tell us how that all come about.
Yeah, well, I've always been a man of God growing up, Mark, just like a lot of Polynesians are, as you know, growing up in Mount Druitt. So when I went through that whole process of discovering myself and why I am the way I am, you know, I just felt like at that time, especially, you know, I never touched drugs until I made first grade, believe it or not.
A lot of kids are the same, Sonny. A lot of kids are the same.
And in those early 2000s, the motto was, it was train hard, play hard, drink hard. You know what I mean?
Yeah, bloody oath.
And I just followed the leader. I wasn't strong enough in my own moral within my own moral compass to say, look, hey, this is not right. I shouldn't treat women like this. I shouldn't abuse my body like this. But I took the selfish option, and I just followed the leader, and it took me to a place where I was deeply unhappy, and then accumulating. And when I wanted to try and get myself right, Islam came, and it gave me the structure that I could put for so long. I put so much effort into being the best sportsman I could. I took that same discipline into my faith, you know, and it made me happy. It made me happy, so happy, you know. Five times a day, I have to pray. Five times a day. But I strive to pray with my heart, not just my limbs. And when you're praying like that, boys, it's an amazing feeling, because I'm grateful for the kids, the struggles that I have with my kids. I'm grateful for the love that I have my wife, but the struggles I have with my wife. I'm grateful just to look around and see there's wallpaper on the wall, because I never had that growing up. You know what I'm trying to say?
Now it's an ocean view, brother.
Yeah, that's it, bro.
Sonny, do you do any work with... any ongoing relationships with any of the young Roosters players or players from anywhere else around the league?
Yeah, I help out a few guys. I won't go into detail about that.
No.
But the thing for me is that I'm not a hoarder of I guess the knowledge that I have, in a sense where the knowledge that I have isn't amazing, but it's just, if you can make it, I always say to the youngsters, if you can make it in sports, you have that, obviously you have that discipline, just transfer it to off the field and try and be the best person you can be. You know, deep down, I feel like we all know what to do, but we just need that little discipline or that little bit of courage or that little bit of push or that little bit of support to get to where we want to get to. You know what I mean?
The reason I ask is because we have seen in this off-season, we've seen three or four incidents of players being arrested for in drug possession, players being caught out on social media doing the wrong thing, and it feels like those struggles you've spoken about and written in your book are still a problem in the competition currently. And I feel like, you know, it's all well and good for club executives and coaches to say these things, but I feel like if some of these players had Sonny Bill Williams standing in front of them telling this story, I mean, they can probably go and buy the book.
Well, tell them to buy the book.
But, you know, it's still, we've seen this, you know, Cam Munster and Brandon Smith, both currently serving their time, copping punishments for similar behaviour.
Well, you know what, boys? I think what the first thing we need to understand is that these young men, these young women, they're products of society. You know, we all make mistakes at a young age. The thing is, with these guys, obviously it's amplified. So for me, what I think of, what's so key and what's so vital in an age where these sportsmen, sportswomen have everything at their fingertips, nutrition advice, recovery advice, everything, you know, the leadership group within the club is so important. Guys, a lot of these guys, you know, have walked that path. So they can tell these youngsters, look, don't be naive. You know, if you slip up, you're going to embarrass not just yourself, your mom, your dad, your sisters, your cousins, your community. You need, you know, these, I feel like if they had more skin in the game and more awareness, we wouldn't be seeing the things that we're seeing. But don't get it twisted. From the outside looking in, we need to understand that these are just young people living. Young people live, like young people make mistakes like we all do. You know what I'm trying to say?
Absolutely. 100%.
100%.
And I think the other thing we need to understand is, just because these guys are on field and we see them and they're doing all these amazing things and we're like, man, they've got it all worked out. Sometimes they don't. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's the biggest thing that came out of the book, how upset with your own self you were, how troubled you were. Like, for most 19, 20, 21-year-olds watching you, you were their idol, and they were you were who they wanted to be, aspired to be, but little did they know that the demons were knocking on your door.
And I think that's why it was important that I put the vulnerability hat on, Mark, and I told my story, because, people might understand me a bit better. I get that. But the thing for me is, you know, the style I played, you know, these massive hits, these outrageous offloads, you know, it's important for people to understand, young people to understand that just because it looks flash and it looks perfect, I still had my struggles. You know what I mean? And I still had to face them. So,
that's why it's
important I told the story.
It's not something I'm likely to ever experience in my life, MG. I know you've done it, but it is a brave thing to be able to sit down and bear who you are, your flaws and everything in a book.
You've got to be comfortable in your own skin to do
exactly. So well done on that. We got heavy, we got deep. Sonny, let me ask you a less serious question. You're a guy who signed a contract, as you said, on the back of your mum's Honda Civic at 14. You're still boxing, still looking at, you know, some professional fights in the future. When was your athletic peak in your mind? Throughout your career, everything you've done and achieved, when were you at your athletic peak?
I think from a playing point of view, I'd have to say from 2010 to 2015, before I done my Achilles, I just felt like, I just felt like I could do things out there just by will, you know? I just felt like I was in the zone all the time, but if that makes sense, not in a cocky way. But I just always felt like, man, just give me the ball. Or, man, come run here. You know what I mean? I'll show you what's up.
2013 grand final proved that.
Yeah, 100%. And when Sonny came back, it's kind of been it's no coincidence that once Sonny came back, the Roosters have been on an upward trajectory. To finish our interview, SBW, we've got a little game I like to play, rapid-fire questions. I throw something at you. You think of the first thing that comes to your mind, and we go with that answer.
No worries. Let's go.
Best player you've played with?
Oh, bro. too many. Too many. That's all I can say. Too many.
Is there a player that stood out who you played against that you thought, oh, geez, I don't want to play against him again?
Greg Inglis.
Oh, gee, I wow.
Do you remember that 2013? I don't know if you remember 2013. They put me on the centres to defend against him because all their tries were coming down the left edge. And I said to myself before the game, that mental welfare, you know, the mental warfare, I'm going to show this dude. Bro, first 5 minutes, I shoot out of the line, read the play, and he catches the ball, and I hit him like it's a perfect hit.
Yeah.
Man just throws me off, runs under the post, and scores a try.
What a weapon. What a weapon.
Which
he
makes
was.
Me think, how did poor, what chance did poor old Jamie Soward stand?
None. When, none.
If SBW is not doing anything,
none.
Good.
Anyone, in answer, none.
He was a special talent, too.
James. He was a God given talent. Your favourite ground ever to play at? And you played a lot overseas with your the All Blacks and the Roosters and even in Canada.
Yes. Favorite field. Just gonna rejog the memory. The old was it where the Dogs used to play before we got moved to ANZ.
Belmore
Oval.
No, I never got to play at Belmore. Unfortunately, it was the Showgrounds.
Oh, Sydney Showground.
Yeah, I love playing there. And then from a rugby point of view, I love playing at Eden Park in Twickenham.
Oh yeah, wow.
Wallabies not so much.
When you were back in your younger days, in your halcyon days as a lad, who was your favourite teammate to party with?
When I did start partying, that wasn't until I was actually in first grade. I remember a funny story. I remember being in the Bulldogs' house, and the house had Jonathan Thurston, Nate Miles,
Willie Mason.
All of these type of lads that just love the party, but I was just the sober driver all the time. But when I got into the party days, it was, Willie Tonga, because he was obviously my roommate. Don't bring up these bad memories. Come on.
No, sorry, mate. Don't forget, this is all cleansing. This is all cleansing, brother. This is all cleansing. What about when you played a game of footy? What was your go-to post-game feed?
Usually KFC, bro.
Oh, yeah,
KFC.
Can't go wrong.
Yeah,
and finally, you've got a beautiful wife, Alana. You've got four beautiful kids. How many kids are Sonny Bill Williams and Alana going to have?
Bro, I'm trying to push for more, Cass.
I know you are.
I'm trying to push for more. I would love to have at least, ideal number eight. But she's a legend, my wife. She's
a legend.
I'll give you one more. So God willing, all I can say as a Muslim is inshallah I have 10.
The book is called You Can't Stop the Sun From Shining. Sonny Bill Williams, a fantastic read.
As you said,
he's bared his soul in this one, and it is a fantastic read. If you enjoyed any stage of his marvellous athletic career, it's absolutely worth reading. Sonny, thank you so much for your time, and good work, and congratulations on your stint with Channel 9 this year on both the Union and the League coverage. You're
awesome.
Absolutely flying.
Thanks, boys. Slow and steady. I'll get there. But, yeah, I appreciate you guys having me there.
Good on you, Sonny. Take it easy, my man.
Yeah, boys.